There's going to come a day where I get up here, hopefully sooner than later, where I don't feel like I'm going to cough my head off. So if I spit my cough drop out today, just ignore it and we're going to keep moving. just act like it never happened, because it could. This morning, we're going to be in our next to last sermon in Mark, and Heath will finish up Mark next week. All right, so today we are going to look at the betrayal of Jesus by Judas. We talked about Judas a little bit 2 weeks ago, but we're actually at his betrayal now. So we're going to be in Mark 14, 43 through 52. Mark 14, 43 through 52. Hey, before I start, y'all pray for the farmers this week too. Heath has a cool opportunity to go to North Carolina and be a nurse at SWO, where we take our kids, and he gets to take his whole family. But they're going to be traveling, and they got a really busy week ahead of themselves. So y'all pray for the farmers. They leave tomorrow morning. They come back Saturday. Yep. So they're going to have a good time. So Mark 14, 43 through 52. Turn there, and I'm going to pray for us real quick. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for all your many blessings, Lord. Thank you for everybody here. Thank you for those that couldn't be. Ask that you please be with those that are sick, that are struggling. Just ask that you be with us this morning. Open our hearts and our minds to you and your message, Lord. And please just move me out of the way so that you're seen clearly. So that it's all about you, Lord. We love you and we thank you. Amen. We're going to read through this entire portion of Scripture real quick. And then we're going to go back and pull out three topics from it. So we're going to focus on those three, and let's go ahead and read it, and then we'll hop into the first one. Mark 14, 43 through 52. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, suddenly arrived. With him was a mob with swords and clubs from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. His betrayer had given them a signal. "The one I kiss," he said, "he's the one. Arrest him and take him away under guard." So when he came, immediately he went up to Jesus and said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. They took hold of him and arrested him. One of those who stood by, drew his sword, struck the high priest's servant, and cut off his ear. Jesus said to them, "Have you come out with swords and clubs, as if I were a criminal, to capture me? Every day I was among you teaching in the temple, and you didn't arrest me, but the scriptures must be fulfilled." Then they all deserted him and ran away. Now a certain young man wearing nothing but a linen cloth was following him. They caught hold of him, but he left the linen cloth behind and ran away naked. All right, so when I started... It's a scene, right? There's a lot going on in this set of scripture. That's why we're going to break it up. But when I started studying this like 2 weeks ago, there's two ways this go to me. And my brain operates weird. So sometimes it jumps off the page at me, what God just has to come out of it. And sometimes it doesn't. And this time I wasn't quite sure. So when that happens, my plan, my system that I use that works for me is I just pray and read and reread and pray and reread until God just shows me something. And he always does. So it's not me, it's him. So the three topics, the 3 points we're going to make today out of this, and some of them are a little different angles, so bear with me. But the three are the betrayal and the arrest. We're going to look at that first. And then we're going to look at the miracle within this story. And then at the end, we're going to look at the submission. That's where we're going to end. All right, so let's start with the betrayal and the arrest. The first thing that we need to know about the arrest is, and I'm not going to get deep into this because he's going to go into it further next week, but the arrest itself, the first thing we need to know about it was made illegally. The arrest of Jesus was made illegally because there was no formal charge made. They came at night because they had to do it that way because we know what we learned 2 weeks ago. If they would have done it during the day and they would have just went and locked him up, they were scared that there was going to be a riot. So there's no formal charge made. They just come up, click, click, and towed him away. The other illegal part is they base this whole thing off of a bribe, because we know that they bribed Judas. So next, let's look at his betrayal. We've also already learned a lot about Judas in the past few weeks. Okay? So little cliff notes there. We know that Judas is one of the disciples, and he is basically the treasurer. He holds the money bag for Jesus' ministry. So any money that was donated to Jesus and his disciples, Judas was in charge of it. We also know Judas was a thief. So then 2 weeks ago we learn Judas gets enraged when Mary is pouring out this perfume on Jesus. She's exhausting this perfume on Jesus, and he gets mad and he pitches a fit because he claims we could go and sell this and we could give the money to the poor. We could do good. But we know Judas wasn't worried about the poor. Judas cared nothing about the poor. Judas was worried about Judas. Okay? So that kind of is cliff notes on Judas up to this point. But what application can we take out of this scripture so that we can walk out the door and use it? I believe when we as Christians look at Judas, our natural thought is disgust and disappointment. Like the man that betrayed our Jesus, his Jesus, that's our natural thought. And rightfully so. I get it. That's the way I think of him. However, I think there's a couple little different angles that we can look at Judas. One angle we can look at is Judas was a necessary evil. He was a necessary tool that God used for his plan to be fulfilled. He was a bad part of Jesus' perfect story. A really bad part. And Jesus knew all along who Judas was and what he was going to do. It was no surprise. So what we can take from this is, in our life, we do probably on a regular basis, we're going to come across bad, ill-intentioned people. Just as Judas was. We're going to come across those people that are hard to deal with, that are going to do us wrong, that are going to hurt us to the core. Sometimes it's people we love. So just like Judas was a part of Jesus' plan, those people that we encounter are part of our plan. We can either allow them to get the best of us, we can lay down and let them kick us and stomp on us, or we can look at it like this, and we can allow it to grow our faith. We can allow those people to push us to be better people. Bad, ill-intentioned people that we encounter can be a positive part of our story. A lot of you older people in here that have lived some life, I ain't talking about you, Glenn, don't laugh. You know what I'm talking about. And the longer we live, the more we see it. But we can handle those people in one of two ways. We can let them affect us negatively, or we can let them drive us to be better people and do better things for God, so that when we handle other situations, we're better at it. Because it's not going to be one person that we encounter in our whole life. There's going to be another one. So after the first one, we're better equipped to handle the second one. So if we believe the Bible to be true, Romans 8:28, it says this, and we should expect this and we should trust it. It says, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. This does not say that all good things work together for those that love God. It does not say only the good days and only the good times work together for those that love God. It says all things. Your bad days, your good days, they all work together for those that love God. God has a plan for your life. It does not mean that our days are going to be full of rainbows and butterflies. We're going to have bad times. So that's what I see in Judas. That's one angle I see Judas from. Another angle that we can learn from here is to use Judas as an example to guard and protect ourselves. To never think that we are above falling. Judas fell. Judas lived 3 years of his life side by side with Jesus. He walked daily with him. They slept around each other. They worked together. Jesus taught these 12 disciples one-on-one. They knew each other well. Very well. Judas followed and served Jesus, and he still fell away. He was not exempt. And this is not the only example we have. This is an old biblical example, but if you think about it and you are informed about modern day evangelists and pastors, just think about it. These guys, we know, like you see them fall all the time. And these guys have been doing ministry for decades, led thousands and thousands of people to Christ, and you see them fall. They're human. They're human. I think about Ravi Zacharias, and if you listen to Christian radio, if you're in tune with that world, you know who he is. This man had a huge internationally known all around. I mean, this man preached all around the world for decades. Led probably tens of thousands of people to Christ. And he fell. He gave in to temptation and sin. And he fell. He was not exempt. He was not exempt. And I don't say this to just bring up his name and like bash him. The point is, if they can fall, these mighty heroes of the faith, these people that we look up to and say, man, what a platform. Look at what this guy's done for Christ. If they can, we can. So we need to protect ourselves from potentially falling as they do. We need to protect ourselves. We need to wake up every day, die to us, die to ourselves, pick up our cross, and do our dead level best to intentionally walk closer with Jesus Christ. We can't take days off. And that sounds extreme when I say it. Say, don't take days off. But here's what happens. You take a day off, and then a day turns into 2 days. And 2 days turns into 3 days. And 3 days turns into a month. And then you look up and you're like, I haven't sat down and had quiet time with Jesus in a year. There is a line sitting, hiding, waiting for your feet to hit the floor every single morning. And he has nothing other to do than to kill you. That is his job. That is his goal. Our goal should be wake up and beat that lion back with a stick every day. If you don't already, and adults, it starts with us. I encourage you to start your day in God's Word. I say it to the youth group all the time, and I just hope they listen to me. Because there's no better way to flip that switch every morning. And it's not going to make your day perfect every day. Not going to. I'm not going to sit here and say it will. I'm not going to blow smoke. But it sets your mind right. It gets you in a place to go out into the world that is full of evil and guard yourself. If you do not start your day every morning in God's Word, spending time with Him, I encourage you to try it. Try it tomorrow, and then try it again Tuesday, and then try it for a month, and just see how it makes your day go. Just try it. Humor me. And then come back to me in a month and let me know. Because I want to hear about it. But guys, we have to guard ourselves every single day. The guy at SWO, Brody, they put it on a t-shirt. He had a saying and he said, you take a day off, you get mauled by a lion. And guys, it's true. It sounds a little dramatic. But guys, he's waiting. He's waiting. His job, his goal in life is to kill you and destroy your life. That is what he is here to do. All right, next, we're going to look real quick at the miracle within this passage. But we're going to look at Luke's account because Mark doesn't mention it. So in Luke, he says, when those around him saw what was going to happen, they asked, Lord, should we strike with the sword? Then one of them struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. But Jesus responded, no more of this. And touching his ear, he healed him. So Luke doesn't call out Peter, but John does. Because y'all know John, I think John and Peter, like, it was a big competition. So John was like, Peter did it. And we knew Peter did it. Out of all of them, we knew Peter did it. Because he's Peter. Okay, so here's the funny part of this. Like, you got a whole mob of people with clubs and swords coming. The disciples had two. They had two swords. That was it. And so they're like, Jesus, you want us to, like, protect you? Y'all aren't soldiers. You got two swords. Like, it's not going to work. Just chill out, bro. But they ask Jesus if they want him to defend it. He didn't even answer, and Peter hacks the dude's ear off. Like, he didn't even wait. It's just Peter being Peter and being impulsive. So my question is Peter a good shot or did he miss? I used to be really good at hitting a baseball. Pretty good at it. It's a little bitty ball. It's moving a lot. It's really hard to do. And you have to hit that baseball just right to make it do what you want to, or it goes somewhere else. I don't know that I could try to hack Brent's ear off without hitting him in the head. I'd hurt you. It would not end well. So I think Peter was trying to hack the dude in the head, if you want to know my opinion. And he just missed and he was like, oh, got his ear. Sorry. And then Jesus is like, wow, chill out. We got this. The other thing is, this is the high priest's servant. He's a servant. He just does what he's told. There's a possibility he didn't want to be there. He might have. I don't know. I'm just saying, if he didn't, and he's like, all right, boss, I'll carry the torch with the fire, and then he's the one that gets his ear cut off, like, poor servant. Like, he might not even want to be there. He might have been there against his will. He's just getting paid to do his job. I don't know. It's just my speculation. Up until this point, we've learned about a lot of miracles that Jesus has performed, but this one stands out to me because it's a little bit different. There's always chaos around Jesus. There's a bunch of people, But this scene to me seems extra chaotic, okay? And it probably does to you too. You think about this. If you spent time in the woods at night, you're out there, your eyes adjust to the dark, and you can kind of see a little bit. But what happens when you introduce light into that very dark situation? Say there's no moon. You can't see anymore outside the light. It gets really dark, okay? So Jesus is praying in the garden. He's minding his own business. He's doing his deal. He knows what's about to happen the next day. And this mob comes into the garden carrying clubs, swords, and I'm sure torches because they had to see. Okay? And then you got Judas comes up to him and he kisses him. And Jesus feels betrayed. So all these emotions are going on and he's feeling disappointed and hurt. And then the disciples are like, you want us to fight? And then Peter hacks this guy's ear off. I mean, it's crazy. The scene's absolutely crazy. And Jesus knows within hours what he's about to go through. And he still slows down enough to pick this dude's ear up and put it back on the side of his head. It's hard for us to understand because we're not capable of doing that. But during the last night of Jesus' life, on the way to being tried, tortured, and killed, he still stops to do this for this man. A man that's within the crowd that's about to kill him. That's a different level. So my whole point of this is, what hopeless, chaotic situation are you walking through right now? You feel alone, helpless, like there's no way out. You're going through something that you ain't never been through before. Let me tell you something. Our God, the reason we sit in this church, the reason we come here, what we believe in, he still performs miracles today in our chaos. He still heals people today. He still fixes situations. He still rebuilds relationships today, just like he did then. In the middle of our chaos, in the middle of my mess, Jesus can still do this. But we have to let him. We have to let him. But if you don't think that Jesus can help you in your situation that you're going through right now, you see him do this in this crazy situation. He was a human. He was God in human form. But he was fully human. So in a human body, he felt human things. He did this. Guys, God sits at the right hand, or Jesus sits at the right hand of God in heaven now. And if you've accepted that free gift of salvation, what he did on the cross for you, that means the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. That means that it never leaves you. So your situation, he's always present there. You don't have to ask him to come into it. Like, he is there. You just got to allow him to work through it. We can't white knuckle our lives and try to fix things ourselves. Trust me, I think I can fix things. And guess who's not good at it? Me. I'm not good at it. But I try. When things start going wrong, I start trying to go, I got this. I got this. I'm a tough guy. I can figure this out. I've made myself look pretty stupid more than once. So whatever you're walking through, whatever chaos you're in the middle of, don't give up. Don't give up, because Jesus doesn't give up on us. Never will. He'll never give up on us. So our last topic in this passage is a submission. The Garden of Gethsemane is a prelude to Calvary. Before Jesus could surrender his body on the cross, he had to completely surrender his will to God the Father. He had to be willing to. He had to be willing to leave with these guys, to allow them to arrest him. You know, we have another example, another scene of a well-known garden in the Bible, the Garden of Eden. Okay? So in the Garden of Eden, we see Adam, and he's given this perfect scenario. God gives him this perfect place to live with food, with furry animals, and a spouse. Like, and they just, it's yours to do what you want to with it. Work it. There's only one no. God gave him one no. Don't touch that tree. Don't eat of that tree. But instead of submitting to God's will and being obedient to what God said, Adam told God, "God, not your will be done, but my will be done. I will put my desires before your desires." And he did what he said not to do. Well, then let's fast forward to where we're at now. And we see Jesus in this second garden, in the Garden of Gethsemane, fully knowing about what's about to happen to him. He knows, guys. He knows how bad he's about to hurt. He knows what he's about to go through. And guess what? He was capable of ending it all at any moment. He could have said, no, I'm not dealing with this. But he knew he couldn't, because that wasn't God's plan. He knew that he couldn't get out of it. So he said, "Yes, I'll go with you. I'll go with you." Because he knew he had to fully surrender to God's plan. Jesus does what Adam was not capable of doing. Adam was not capable of doing that. So unlike Adam, Jesus says, "Lord, not my will be done, but your will be done. Not my desires, not me getting out of this, but me going through with your plan to fulfill what you had in mind, your good and perfect plan." See, Eden brought about death, but Gethsemane brings about new life. It's the prelude to Calvary. So I'll close and I'll leave you with this. Off of these 3 points, try to take this with you. Try to hold on to it. Every day, wake up and be intentional about growing closer to Christ so that you'll never find yourself drifting away. You see, guys, God stays right here. God stays right here all the time. We can walk away from him. We can. He stays in the same place. We can drift. In order not to drift, we need to wake up and be very intentional about growing closer to Christ. If we grow really close to him, it's harder for us to get away from him. The closer we grow to him, the harder it is for us to slip. The harder it is for this world to pull us away from him. Every morning, guys, please try it. Start your morning. Wake up a little bit earlier. Have some quiet time and get in God's word. And study it. Study it. Pray. Just sit alone and try to hear him. Second one, no matter the severity of your situation, no matter how chaotic or crazy things are, God's always right beside you. Just like I just said, God never leaves us, guys. God never leaves us. If he can pause long enough in his situation to heal Malchus the servant's ear, he can and will help you through what you're going through. No matter what, guys, Because somebody's sitting here today. Somebody is sitting here today going, you have no idea. You have no idea what I'm dealing with. Or saying that, no, I'm too far gone. Jesus can't help me through what I'm going through. Or he can't bring me back from where I've been. I probably do get it. And even if I don't, Jesus does. Jesus gets whatever you're going through, and he will walk through it hand in hand with you if you will open your hand and let him. The last one, the submission of Jesus. Guys, it's not easily understood by us because we're not capable of the things of Jesus. However, we are capable of seeing the beauty of it. He completely surrenders his life in order to save ours. He completely gives himself up to save me. He endures suffering and shame in order to cover our sin. He didn't have to. He didn't have to, but he was willing to. So if he's willing to surrender to what he had to go through, then don't you think that he is worthy of us submitting to him? To surrender ourselves to him that surrendered himself for us first. Guys, he could have got out of it. He could have rain checked, and he could have got out of the painful part of it. But it wasn't God's plan. He submitted to what he knew he had to go through. So doesn't it make sense that he's worthy of us surrendering to him? So as we sing, if that's you, if you're fighting with that, if you're battling with it, and want to take care of it, or want to talk with somebody, then surrender. There's no better day than today, June 30th. If you're dealing with one of those chaotic situations that you think that you're not able to be helped, you can be helped. There's help. There's help here. And Jesus is going to help you more than anything ever will. So surrender to that too. Stop trying to do it on your own. I know that. It don't work. The altar's open. Let's sing.